Last week I mentioned a friend that I talked to said he has been living in this prayer for the past 25 years. It's been a way that he has been learning and is continuing to learn to abide. It's the songs that Brian led us in are so appropriate of this isn't just words to repeat. It's not just a formula, but this is a way of abiding in Christ. And as we'll look at today, the phrase, give us this day our daily bread, which is key to abiding, living, or remaining in fellowship with God. And this phrase, though, it doesn't come without a context, but it becomes, after we've prayed these words, our Father in heaven. So we remember who the Lord is for us specifically. He loves us perfectly, personally. His perspective is perfect. We pray that his name would be hallowed, that he would be known for who he is. And we pray that his kingdom would come, because where he is, it all is right. And so we pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And last week we looked at that, especially when that his will maybe runs against the grain of our own will. How do we learn to pray, thy will be done? It's by trusting that he is good, that he is our Father, he is for us. So give us this day our daily bread. And this prayer that we're learning to pray, that Jesus taught his disciples, it makes us a praying people, or a people who are abiding and connected to the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And all of our needs get summed up in this prayer. There's a great inclusiveness in them. And today we look at, you know, the physical needs, but there's also the mental, spiritual, body, soul, spirit, all those headings get covered in this prayer. And as Jesus turns this morning, give us this day our daily bread. It begins with our body. And the fact that we are alive and must be kept alive. Our existence, physically, it supports the spiritual. And all of this, though, is in our entire dependence upon God, our Father who is in heaven. And now this is a prayer, if you're like me, this can be a harder prayer to pray. Give us this day our daily bread when we have refrigerators and pantries. And if you drive within 5 miles of here, there may be 10 grocery stores. So it doesn't feel quite acutely that we need to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And yet that's what Jesus tells us to pray. Just a few verses before this, he said, do not be like the hypocrites who use a bunch of empty phrases, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So he knows, and he is providing our daily bread. And yet he tells us to pray for our daily bread. So why pray if he knows our need already? We'll get to that. We'll also see how this prayer is a way of cultivating daily dependence upon God and appreciation for what he does provide. But if we think about daily bread, again, we've got refrigerators, we've got grocery stores, but if you've ever kept a garden and tried to grow tomatoes or potato or whatever it is, then you have a greater appreciation for this little prayer, give us this day our daily bread. You know what it takes from seed to harvest and all the things that can happen in between, the weather, the pests, other things that can interrupt that. We are very dependent upon food, and yet it's a very fragile process. But here we are, and we could say the fact that we're here today, we've lived, we've eaten enough to get here to this point. So we can say, great is thy faithfulness. He has fed us all along the way, new mercies every morning, summer and springtime. He has been faithful. Even though our entire existence depends on 6 inches of topsoil and the fact that the earth is rotated on its axis, so it's unevenly heated, which creates evaporation and rain that comes and waters the earth, all that. So pretty fragile system that we are dependent upon. And yet he feeds us with daily food. So it seems maybe just an audacious prayer to, we're talking to the God of heaven. And then if it weren't for Jesus's This was the prayer on his lips. Otherwise, we think, is it even okay to ask for our daily bread? This is the God of heavens, which said, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. And we need food every day. We need food. But it's entirely consistent with Jesus' pattern of living. Think about what he did, what he was doing as he was walking among us. He occupied himself with things we might consider trivial, but to those people, they weren't trivial. Like in John 2, the first time Jesus performed a miracle, there was a wedding and they had run out of wine. Is that something that you would trouble the God of heaven with? Logistically, we didn't plan enough. We had a potluck and we forgot to call the people to get the chicken from Ingles or whatever it is. You know, this isn't his problem. Why are we bothering him? But Mary thought it was okay. His own mother said, Jesus, they're out of wine. And he said, it's not my time. And yet he provided wine for this wedding, for this celebration. Multiple times, Jesus provided food for people who were hungry. They were following him and the disciples were like, let's just get them out of here. This shouldn't be our problem. There's no way we can feed all these people. And Jesus fed them, gave them something to eat. There were times his disciples came back after they'd been on missions and he said, they're tired. They need rest. And he provided rest for them. He went out of his way to find the little people, the poor, the sick, the powerless. Theirs is the kingdom. That's what Jesus was spending his time doing. So it's completely consistent for him to tell us to pray for daily bread, your daily needs, the things that the here and now that I need, they're linked with the eternal purposes of God. Isaiah 57, 15, it says, thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the contrite and to revive the heart of the lowly. The one who inhabits eternity, timeless from beginning to end, he also dwells with the lowly, those who know they are dependent upon him. So that's exactly what this prayer is doing. Jesus is linking these huge, vast, eternal purposes of God to bring his kingdom to the earth. And it comes through his people who are dependent upon him, who call him Father, who know that their Father gives good gifts to those who ask. So why pray if he knows our needs already? Well, obviously we don't pray because God's not aware of our needs. He is. But prayer is this relationship between a father and a child. And the value of prayer is that it keeps us in touch and in contact with God. When I moved to college in 2003, in that fall, I had a cell phone and you could make phone calls with it. You could call people. You couldn't text, you couldn't get on the internet, you couldn't do anything else, but you could call people. And if it was after 9 p.m., then you could call people and there was no charge. And so from the first day I moved away from home at 9 or just a little after 9, I would call my dad. And for the next, I guess, 11 years, about every night I called my dad and he always picked up. And part of why I did that, I think, is I couldn't articulate this at the time, but I wanted his perspective. I just wanted his voice. I knew I was accountable to him because he was helping with my expenses at college, my room and board, the meal, all that stuff. So I wanted him to kind of know what I was doing. But I was living around a bunch of people my own age, and I wanted the voice of my father in speaking into that. And I talked to my mom as well, but usually after 9 p.m. she was in bed. So I had the benefit, though, of talking to my father daily. That continued until he passed away about 11 years after that in 2014. And that was a great gift of just having his voice, getting my bearings, and that relationship. It changed completely from when I was younger. I just really wanted to talk with my father. And so why doesn't God give us all that he has to give us in one lump sum? He could do that. He could just put a bunch of stuff in a bank account, and then you go and withdraw it as you need it. You need patience, it's over there. You need grace, you need food, it's over there. But he wants us to come to him. He wants us to learn that he is dependable. He did this with the Israelites when they were wandering through the wilderness. He provided for them daily bread, manna, in the wilderness. He provided water from the rock in the desert. Who could do that? He was showing them that he is trustworthy, that he is dependable, and he wanted them to come to him, to know that he was dependable. They were dependent, and he is dependable. That's what they were learning through all those years, to keep coming back to him. Because he is the self-existent great Jehovah who is not dependent upon anyone. And because we are his children, he likes us to come to him. He likes to hear from us. He likes us to know his voice, giving perspective and giving assurance that he is with us, he is for us, he's going to meet every need. And why do we need that? Well, we are prone to forget, especially when things are good, especially when the refrigerator's full, the bank account's pretty healthy, nobody's sick at home, things are going well. We are prone to forget. That's why I told them in Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. These things that I command you, teach them to your children." And he says, "And when you come into the land that the Lord your God swore to give your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, full of great cities that you didn't fill, and houses full of all good things that you didn't fill, with cisterns that you didn't dig, and vineyards that you didn't plant, and olive trees, all these things. And when you eat and are full, be careful lest you forget the Lord your God." When things are good, we can forget that we are dependent. And so Jesus says, pray daily, give us this day our daily bread. Even if it's in the refrigerator, even if it's in the grocery store, or it's in the bank account, we can purchase it. We're acknowledging, God, without you, I don't have anything. I am dependent upon you for my existence and for everything good. We're more aware of our needs whenever we're hit by sickness or hardships. We're more acutely aware of our needs, or a storm like Helene. It makes us aware that we are not as strong as we think we are. We are powerless before these greater powers. But how is it that we can cultivate a daily dependence? Chiefly, it is appreciation for what he provides. Food is not a footnote or an afterthought. So we don't want to lose our sense of amazement, because food didn't ultimately come from the pantry or the fridge or the grocery store or this farmer's market. That's the good stuff, right? Food came from the mind and the heart of God. Every meal you've ever had, that's where it came from. He's the one who came up with this idea. G.K. Chesterton, I appreciate what he said. We need fairy tales sometimes to hear that things like, oh, the rivers ran with wine. It sounds beautiful and poetic. To help us appreciate the fact that rivers run with water. He is meeting our needs. Every meal, God is hallowing his name by providing for us on this planet, on this rock that's flying through space at the perfect balance, distance from the sun. He is providing for us. Glory to his name. Every single meal. That's what he's doing. And he's bringing about his kingdom and helping us do his will by feeding us, giving us what we need along the way. Martin Luther, he used this term, appreciate the masks of God. God could provide for you like he did for the ravens did for Elijah. They just bring meat directly to him. God could do something like that, but he usually uses means like the grocery store, the truck driver who delivered the things there, the farmer who tended the soil and brought these things about. All these people, that these are the people, the masks of God. God providing for you through the means of those people. So we've got to be careful not to lose our amazement that he feeds us. And then our appreciation. That's Romans 1. The people failed to acknowledge God or to give him thanks. And giving thanks is When we eat our meals, that's an essential way to remember the Lord, to deepen our dependence, asking for and then receiving our daily bread. And I know it can seem kind of rote. We do it at every meal, but it is such a healthy exercise to stop and to acknowledge the Lord. You know, we don't want to use empty phrases or vain repetitions. Jesus warned against that, but it is good and right to give him thanks. It's training our hearts. Every time I get off the phone with Juliana, she ends the call saying, I might have just talked to her 5 minutes before. I'm running to the store. She's like, oh, remember to get this too. Okay, thanks. Love you. Bye. And then I might talk to her 20 minutes later. She tells me something else. I love you. Bye. I've never been annoyed by that phrase, I love you. Bye. It's not vain. I'm thankful to hear it regularly. She loves me. Goodbye. Just tending to the normal stuff of life. And likewise, our Father, as we receive good food. Thank you, Father. We love you. Bye. We actually don't have to say goodbye. He abides with us still. But giving thanks is a good and right exercise at every meal. In Psalm 104, I love what the psalmist says. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. This is what God has done. Just marveling at the fact that God provides, that he has created the earth in a certain way, but this is by God's design. It wouldn't have to be this way, though. In Deuteronomy, the people were warned of curses that would occur if they didn't obey. And the Lord said, I can make the sky like bronze and the earth beneath you like iron. And we've maybe been to places in the earth where nothing can be cultivated there, on rocks or in deserts. So it's not a given thing. It's only by the mind and the heart of God that we have an earth that produces and provides for us. So thanks be to God for that. And that he does it daily. He has been doing it daily, weeks on end, months on end, up to this very point. He is faithful. He is dependable to give us daily what we need, these inputs. On Tuesday afternoon, I was sitting in the afternoon sun with Slavik, and I was just thinking about his life and doing the math. It's like, okay, he spent 15 years in Ukraine. He's been with us almost 8 years now, and just thinking about the change in his life, and there's such peace in his heart, and I was thinking, okay, for him to be with us, with our family, longer than he was in Ukraine, let's see, that's another 7 years from now. That'll be interesting just to note. And then I was looking at him and thinking, and I asked him, Slavik, do you have 7 years more in you? And it just struck me, like, if he, only based on the reserves that he has in his body right now, no way. He cannot live 7 years without daily. He's going to need water. He's going to need food. He's going to need these other things. And so with me, we think of the future. There is no way we survive without our needs being met daily. And that's how our God serves us. That's how he meets our needs daily. And Jesus is teaching us in this prayer to come to our Father, to learn to depend on him daily. Not in one lump sum, or I'll download it when I need it, I'll go to the bank and withdraw, but daily to come to our Father. Daily to trust him. That's what he taught the Israelites, who are prone to forget. But as we sang this morning, he is the well that will not run dry. Jeremiah warned the people. He said, the Lord was speaking through Jeremiah, saying, my people have committed two evils. They have hewn out for themselves broken cisterns that can hold no water, and they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. He can even make water come out in the desert. In this language of hunger and thirst, it gives us a framework for spiritually how we relate to the Lord. The fact that we are in these bodies that require daily inputs of food and water speak to something deeper, that we were made to hunger and thirst for another. That's exactly the language that Jesus used in John, saying, I am the one that you were made to live on and to live from. In Deuteronomy 30, we read this: love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. He is the one we were made to live from, to feed on. So this hunger, it gives us the language and the framework for engaging with God, to hunger and to thirst and to know that he is faithful daily. Several years ago, at 2 in the morning, Isaac woke me up, and I've shared this before, but he said, I'm rubbing my eyes. He said, Dad, is there a North Carolina and a South Carolina? I said, yeah, bud. I said, oh, okay. And he went back to bed. I thought, well, we homeschool, so I thought, all right, well, we've got geography covered for a week. Because if you wake somebody up at 2 in the morning, that's got to count for something good. But who else would wake up somebody at 2 in the morning unless they are your father? You can go to your father at 2 in the morning. And so with the king of the universe, who would dare to go to the king of the universe and ask for a glass of water unless you're his son, unless you're his daughter? And if you are, he'll serve you. He'll get you that glass of water. That's who he is. The one who is high and lifted up, he inhabits eternity, and he abides with those who are dependent upon him. So, Father, teach us daily to depend upon you, to abide in you, to find you faithful for all of our needs. Would you form us, Lord, through this prayer that we might that we might live in it and find that you are indeed the source of life. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.